Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Top of the hour, still to come in the hour. Will Carroll will get the very latest on what he thinks of some of the injuries out there, like Justin Verlander, whether or not he's going to be back this year, and the impact of that. And, of course, very latest on the opt-out list. A lot going on here. There was another debate that took place yesterday on Twitter. We mentioned Matt Ryan did not make the NFL. The NFL.com does a list, top 100 players for this season in the NFL. They did not put Matt Ryan on the list.
Yeah, I saw that. And I saw some people talking about, some people had the numbers broken down. Kirk Cousins and Matt Ryan's and how many touchdowns and how many yards they threw for and all the other stuff. And Matt Ryan still didn't make the list. That should tell you right there that these lists are a bunch of, you know, horse patooey, horse pucky, or whatever they want to say. Yeah, whatever it is. Whatever, that's what these lists are, horse pucky.
Yeah, and Josh Allen made the list. Josh Allen made the list. And, you know, Bills fans are out there going, Josh Allen is a far better quarterback than Matt Ryan. I mean, they were really demonstrating. Oh, you know, you go read it. There were Bills fans, Bills Mafia out there just saying, hey, you guys don't know Bills what you're Mafia. Talking about. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
No. But you know what? People are prisoners of the moment. And,
right.
And you have to let them, you know, do whatever it is that they do. I mean, that's just it is what it is, John Fricky. It is what it is.
Well, and in the NFL top 100, you know, Josh Allen, who, by the way, who knows if he's even going to be the starter by the middle of the year for the Buffalo Bills. You know, I actually think that Jake Fromm has a chance to be a pretty good NFL quarterback. I'm not saying that right away, but I think that there's going to be a potential quarterback battle in Buffalo between those two. And Jake Fromm was a better college quarterback than Josh Allen was at Wyoming. Josh Allen was Brian Hill's quarterback, our running back.
You're trying to say Jake Fromm is going to challenge for the start job at Buffalo, John? That's what you're saying right now on this station.
Yes.
That's what you're – seriously, you going with that?
Yes.
After all – okay. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dispute. I mean, Taco Fall, that's all I got to say about that. Taco Fall, that's all I got to say.
All right, Jake Fromm was – again, I'm just making the point. I saw Josh Allen play 3 or 4 games in college, maybe more than that. I saw DeMonte Casey just about take him apart one game. When he was at Wyoming, Jake Fromm was just a better college quarterback than Josh Allen. Josh Allen makes a lot of bad throws. And not that he's not an athletic guy. He is. So what? I mean, a lot of athletic guys doesn't mean they're a great quarterback.
Like I said, Taco Fall. I'm going to go ahead and just let you have that one. Taco Fall. I'm going to let you Taco Fall that one. And I'm just going to fall back. And I'm just, you know, let you get on your soapbox about that one.
So Matt Ryan was on with Pro Football Talk and doing an interview, and they asked him about the fact that he did not make this list of the top 100 players in the NFL, and this is what Matt Ryan said.
That kind of stuff doesn't, you know, change my day, right? Like, it's never been, for me, bulletin board material or anything like that. I know what I can do. You know, I know what I'm capable of doing, and I feel like, you know, every week I give our team a great chance to win. And you know, if we get the ball late in the game, I know I have what it takes to finish it out. So I don't worry about that stuff. I just focus on trying to do the job the best I can.
I love it. I know I got what it takes to make it happen. That's all that matters. I mean, listen, I think that at a certain point, when you've been as disrespected and overlooked as much as Matt Ryan has been in his career, you kind of get to a point where it doesn't really bother you anymore. I mean, I think at one point it did bother him why he didn't get the love that other people got for the things that he did. But I think at this point, he doesn't care. I mean, think about it, man. This was a couple years ago. The cat was at some event here in Atlanta, and he was on the podium, and he got booed. I think this was right before the season, before the Super Bowl season, when they went to the Super Bowl. Got booed. So he is used to being the underdog. And being overlooked in certain situations. And he just goes out there and he throws for, what, 3,000 yards every season? Something crazy like that.
4,000, sometimes
yeah,
five,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he just does that every year amongst the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. You know, but that's fine. You know, listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave this alone when it comes to Matt Ryan because I'm tired of saying it and I'm tired of trying to convince people of it. You're going to miss him when he's gone.
No kidding.
That's it. That's all I got to say. Because we've seen, only thing I got to say is Mitchell Trubisky. Remember they went up and got him? and everybody looked like, what the heck are you doing? Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback in Chicago right now. That's how hard it is to find quarterbacks that can play in the NFL. It's hard to find them. It is. So that's all I got to say about that. You're going to miss him when he's gone.
Ryan was also asking another question. This is a really good question. Given that Tom Brady, a question I think is a really interesting one, and I credit Pro Football Talk for asking it. Given that Tom Brady is now in Tampa, they said, and now, of course, there's all these rumors, Hugh, about Aaron Rodgers being in his last year in Green Bay and then moving on to Jordan Love, and where would Aaron Rodgers play next year if he was going to continue his career. They asked Matt Ryan, are you going to finish with the Falcons, and are you going to be just a one-team quarterback?
I'll get there when I get there. At this point, I haven't had that feeling. I haven't had that come up or that situation in front of me, but everybody's career arc is different, right? And everybody's career goes in different directions. And so one of the things I think, I've learned along the way is to, worry about today, worry about this year and this season, and then, worry about the next one next year.
Yeah, and I get that. So, I mean, Phillip Rivers is in Indianapolis. Tom Brady's in Tampa. Aaron Rodgers could be who knows where. Cleveland, who the hell knows. San Francisco next year in the end of his career. Is it possible that Matt Ryan, is another 3 years at the helm of the Atlanta Falcons and is moving on? I guess it's possible. It's weird to think of the idea of Matt Ryan being in another uniform, but sure, I guess it's possible, Hugh.
To me, honestly, John, that was a kind of a terrible question, to be totally honest. I mean, that's not on Matt Ryan. That's not Matt Ryan's decision. I think every quarterback, when you think about the arc of most quarterbacks in the NFL, you have to think about it like this. They're the darlings of the franchise. They are the ones that get to sit in the meetings and make choices with the head coach. They are the closest ones to management. And every last one of them, at some point, has felt betrayed by the organization that has been moved on from. So even though Matt Ryan's in a great position right now because he is the face of the franchise, he's no different than anybody else. How do you think Aaron Rodgers felt? Well, he already told you how he felt when they drafted their quarterback. It's not on him. No matter how well he plays, it's not on him. You think about it like this, John. Aaron Rodgers last year was praised for having one of his better seasons because they didn't have to depend on him as much as they had to in the past. They talked about how well the defense played. And you know what the Green Bay Packers turned around and did? They drafted a quarterback. It's not on Matt Ryan to make that call. It's not. Would he love to be an Atlanta Falcon? Would he love to end his career in one place? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would. But that's not any – I don't know any quarterback who has that call. Peyton Manning didn't have it. Who was the closest one? John Elway. John Elway would be the closest. I can't even think of his name. Steve Young probably had it. Troy Aikman, maybe. But most guys, when it's time to move on from them, it's not their choice. It's not their choice at all.
Yeah, the only choice they have is whether or not they want to continue playing, right?
Yeah, it's not their choice at all. When they tell you, hey, man, it's time for you to go, they're going to get rid of you.
And
Joe
so
Montana.
Joe Montana. Right. Joe Montana with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And especially if you have what you consider to be the heir apparent on the team. And if Green Bay really believes that Jordan Love is the heir apparent. Now, there's no heir apparent, obviously, in the Atlanta Falcons, and there won't be for a couple of 3 years. Everybody keeps saying, when are you going to draft a quarterback? Well, I don't think you're drafting a quarterback.
Because that's the thing.
For 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. When they draft a quarterback, then you will know. You'll know that Matt Ryan's on the clock.
Right.
But right now, Matt Ryan's not on the clock. And he would love to stay here, and he would, that's the case. But Matt Ryan got an expiration date just like everybody. He got one, and it ain't going to be his choice when it's time to move on.
We get ready for the NBA tonight as the restart. We'll have Utah against New Orleans, so patient zero against Zion, and then Kawhi versus LeBron, Clippers and Lakers down in the bubble in Orlando. First two games up for the NBA and the restart of this. I think it's like an 8-game regular season. Then we go into the playoffs. We got Braves tonight with Max Fried on the mound. Nick Markakis back with the Braves. Well, at least he's back with the he's raised his hand. How quickly he gets back onto the 30-man roster, we'll see. And you know, just there's no reason you couldn't just, I guess, put him back on the 30-man roster. Hugh, it's not like he's been gone that long. He didn't forget how to hit. But you'd have to cut somebody to make room for him. Let's see what they do. The Braves with Nick Markakis opting back in. So a lot going on in sports world right now, and it's great to have the NBA back to go alongside baseball, and I'm excited. Good for us to talk to.
You're not the only one. I tell you what else thing I'm excited about. I'm going to be excited to see these Buffalo Bills play this year. And I want to see if this thing you said about Jake Fromm comes to pass, though.
Come at me. Here it is. You can find me. It's not a big deal.
No, I'm just saying, John. I mean, listen, you put it out there. Listen, stick to your guns, man. I'm just kind of waiting to see how that's going to play out. I mean, I don't see it, but I mean, hey, my word is not the gospel. My word is not the gospel.
I just don't got faith in you. I don't think all that of Josh Allen. I'm just telling you. I don't know why Buffalo Bills fans, knock yourself out. Not that I don't think you're a good team. I'm just, your quarterback is to me. Will Carroll, injury expert and more, going to join us. We'll talk to him about some of the big injuries that are facing sports right now. And we have to ask him about Alex Smith, right? I mean, and that whole stuff. We'll do that next after a CBS Sports Minute.
Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Worldwide at radio.com. Will Carroll is our injury expert. And the author of the Under the Knife column, you can find it at undertheknife.substack.com or just Google Under the Knife. He joins us every Thursday at this time, and his injury report is sponsored by Johnson and Alday Injury Attorneys. You can visit Johnson Alday, that's Johnson, Alday, johnsonalday.com. And Will, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Pretty good. Well, I got some questions I want to ask you, man, because we noticed this like last week when the Braves started playing. Mike Fornevich looked a little gaunt, and I don't know if that has anything to do with his velocity or anything. What do you think is the reason why his velocity has dropped off a little bit? Is it physical or is it more mental?
I think it's physical. Certainly he looked different. There were some explanations. There are a lot of players that just have a hard time. And I'm sure you guys hate these kind of guys. I know I do. They just can't keep on weight. They have to eat a lot of food. We have linemen. If you've seen Jeff Saturday or Joe Thomas lately, you wouldn't think these were ever 300-pound guys because they had to eat so much to get up to that weight. I just have no idea what that's actually like. For Mike, he was down on weight. His wife explained that he just wasn't able to do all the lifting and things that he normally does in season. Baseball was on pause. So I don't think it's a big surprise. I mean, we've seen on the other side, if you watch the Rangers, Lance Lynn looks like, he looks like a mountain man. He's got a big, thick beard, and he's put on about 20 pounds, but he's throwing really well. So this can go a number of ways. Pitchers come in all shapes and sizes. I used to say that if you lined up the best pitchers of the year, a Maddox, a Glavine, a Smoltz, a Randy Johnson, a Pedro Martinez, they don't even look like the same species, let alone the same profession. I don't think we can put too much into the looks. Obviously, the Braves didn't like what they've seen from him, and he's been designated.
Yeah, he's been designated, and don't think he'll be back with the Atlanta Braves, but you see if somebody takes a shot at him. On the waiver wire, because I don't think you're going to be able to trade him. I'm sorry, Will?
I hear the Marlins need some players.
No kidding.
They need a few players.
Yeah,
they need
right?
a few people.
Package a couple of guys down there for some prospects with the Marlins. We're talking with Will Carroll. He's our injury expert, Under the Knife columnist. Since we're on baseball, let's stay there. Justin Verlander, not that it's going to break anybody's heart if the Houston Astros are without him, set that aside here. Where do we stand with Justin Verlander? Because the initial report certainly did not sound good.
No, but I think there was a misunderstanding. He has a flexor strain. The flexor muscle is that thick muscle on the lower side of your elbow. If you point your fingers straight down towards the floor, then you'll feel that flexor mass kind of kick in. And a strain there is worrisome. We've seen a lot of these in baseball so far. You know, a lot of people are saying, how many Tommy Johns are we going to see? Well, we've seen one, but we've seen 18 flexor strains among pitchers. We've seen some shoulder strains. We saw Corey Kluber has one of the weirdest Terry Major strains, which is a muscle we very seldom see. And then the very next day, we have two more pitchers with the same weird injury. So we're just seeing some strange injury. The flexor muscle is obviously involved in the pitching motion. A lot of people think it acts as a brake for the elbow, though we don't have a study that confirms this, which is kind of crazy, thinking it's 2020 and we know so much. We don't even know what the elbow does. It's kind of crazy. So with Verlander, he's shut down for at least 2 weeks. They're going to try to bring him back. He is definitely not out for the season, but he's definitely not in either. We've seen these kind of things require surgery. His is a grade 2 strain. I don't think we're going to see him back before mid-August at the earliest. And around baseball, people are very concerned as to why we're seeing so many of this type of injuries.
You know, speaking of Corey Kluber, you brought him up. Is this something that is a real concern for his tightness in his shoulder?
Yeah. It's a torn teres major. Grade 2 strain, which is it's a muscle just behind the rotator cuff. It's great for barbecue, but that doesn't help us with Corey. We just don't normally see this. The teres minor, which is right next to it, is part of the rotator cuff, which acts as kind of the brakes. As your arm, if you throw your arm forward, it keeps it from just going along with the ball. So the teres major just normally doesn't take that much stress. So this is very unusual. He's actually gone to Boston, where he trains in the off season with Eric Cressy. Cressy, oddly, is now with the Yankees. So, yes, the Rangers pitcher who used to be with the Indians is now training in Boston with the Yankees head of performance. That's a sentence. That's a whole lot of 2020 there.
Will Carroll's our injury expert, author of the Under the Knife columnist, not only one of the leading injury experts in the entire nation, but also, and you want to explain to the audience why, as we talk about pitchers, you understand pitchers more so maybe than any other position in any other sport. And as you do that, I was under the impression that, Will, we were going to see a lot of 3-4-inning starts, a little bit like the beginning of spring training. But right out of the gate, we're seeing, you know, pitchers throw DeGrom 85 pitches. I mean, we're seeing guys go much deeper into the game, almost to what I would consider regular season limit from the jump.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's exactly what led my column that went out this morning. We saw Max Scherzer go 112 last night. We saw Lance Lynn go over 100 both times out. We've seen a number of pitchers go deeper into games, and this is what teams were trying to do. They were trying to keep the workload up for these pitchers. We are also seeing a lot of short outings because we've seen there was a day, I think it was Monday, where nobody went more than 5. Pitchers just aren't very efficient. We're seeing guys go for high strikeouts, which tends to run up your pitch count when you get to those 2-2, 3-2 counts before a strikeout. There's not a lot of 1-2-3 strikeouts anymore unless you're Max Scherzer. So we are seeing the fact that the pitchers and teams were able to keep their workloads up. I don't know what Max Scherzer was doing, but apparently he was going out there and basically throwing games and kept himself on track, and here he is heading towards another Cy Young.
We're talking with Will Carroll, our injury expert here. I want to shift over to football. Hugh can jump into this, too. Alex Smith, any chance he could ever even take another snap? I know that he wants to, but could he really, realistically?
Yeah, maybe. I think he could be a backup quarterback forever. At this stage, those positions tend to be almost a coach to begin with. But it's pretty amazing that he even has a chance. You know, 20 years ago, they would have amputated that leg. It was that devastating.
Wow.
The infection was in there. The bone was just so devastated. It was a play that just shouldn't have happened. And it's unlucky. He's had a lot of work to go through. Is he going to be the same guy? No. He's not going to be as mobile. But he could have a normal life. And that's pretty amazing. When you think about what he's gone through, what Teddy Bridgewater has gone through, and he's definitely going to take some snaps this year. It brings me back to Eric Sugarman, who is the athletic trainer for the Minnesota Vikings and really may have saved the leg of Teddy Bridgewater. Turns out there wasn't a lot of vascular damage, but had there been, they treated him in such a way that he had every chance to come back, and that big contract that Carolina gave him comes back. And now Eric and his family are dealing with COVID, which is kind of ironic given the fact that he's the infection control officer for the Vikings. But thoughts go out to him. With Smith, yeah, I think he has a chance, and that's a lot more than most people would get in that situation.
Well, we're just keeping our eyes on, what's going to happen in terms of, the COVID, too. And we're seeing, the Miami Marlins be kind of a canary in the coal mine for a lot of teams to see if they shape up and really lock down their teams to say, look, let's keep this tight here, guys, and not be wandering off into, the night here and bringing it back.
Apparently it's just Atlanta strip clubs that we got to watch out for.
Yeah, apparently.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Oh, I've said allegedly about a lot of my nights in strip clubs, too.
Allegedly.
Yeah, that chicken wing is a, that's a strong allure. I know, right? I got you. hey, Will, do appreciate it.
Yeah, man, Will. Thanks a lot.
Will Carroll, author of the Under the Knife column. You can Google it at Under the Knife. His injury report sponsored by Johnson and Alday Injury Attorneys at JohnsonAlday.com. And any one of the, real smart guys when it comes to all this. I can't believe Alex Smith is going to even. I mean, Hugh, they said 20 years. What do you say? 20 years ago, they would have amputated.
Oh no, John. They were talking about amputating his leg, and they tried to save it. They tried to save it. And when you see it, I saw like the video. I saw the E60 on it.
Right.
And it's amazing that he's able to move the way he's moving. That leg was down to the bone.
Andy and Randy, top of the hour on this Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and worldwide streaming at radio.com.